Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. In the darkest corners of our world, where shadows dance and whispers take form, we uncover tales that will chill your bones and haunt your dreams. Tonight, we dive deep into a story that will grip your very soul. So, dim the lights, pull your blanket a little closer, and let us journey into the unknown together. The town of Ravenbrook lay nestled at the edge of a dense, foreboding forest, its houses huddled together as if seeking mutual comfort. Towering pine trees, their trunks coated in green moss, cast a permanent shade over the town, making the days gloomier than they should be. The occasional shrill cry of a distant crow pierced the near-constant whisper of the rustling leaves. On this particular evening, the town square, usually bustling with children and merchants, bore a hushed atmosphere. A slight chill pervaded the air, hinting at the first touches of autumn. A circle of elderly townsfolk had gathered, and their deep voices carried tales older than Ravenbrook itself. Liam, a tall, lanky boy with sharp green eyes, leaned against a stone wall, his gaze locked on the elders. Next to him, Rebecca, a girl with raven black hair and a face full of freckles, clutched her scarf tighter around her neck, absorbing every word. Mason, with his broad frame and curly hair, tried to look disinterested but couldn't help glancing over every now and then. Jade, the smallest of the group with bright blue eyes, sat cross-legged on the ground, her chin resting on her hands, completely engrossed. Old Mrs. Haversham, the most respected storyteller in Ravenbrook, spoke with a gravita that demanded attention. Beyond the tree line, deep within the forest, lies the forsaken morose asylum, she began, her voice wavering but determined. The walls of that cursed place have witnessed unspeakable horrors. Dr. Morose, with his pale skin and hollow eyes, was once a respected figure in our town. But his thirst to unravel the mysteries of the mind led him down a dark path. Rebecca shuddered, her voice barely audible. They say he could trap a person's very soul, leaving behind nothing but an empty shell. Jade gulped, why would he do such a thing? Mrs. Haversham sighed, looking into the distance. Power, control, immortality. Who can truly understand the desires of a twisted heart? Each Halloween, the line between our world and the sinister beyond blurs. It's said that the asylum awakens, hungry for fresh souls. Mason scoffed, legends. Just old wives' tales to keep us from venturing into the woods. Liam leaned in, his voice a bit shaky. Then why does no one go near it, even in daylight? Before anyone could answer, the town bell rang, signaling the end of the evening. The crowd dispersed, leaving the four friends in the slowly dimming twilight. Jade whispered, her eyes wide with a mix of fear and excitement. Do you think it's all true? Rebecca replied, her voice firm. There's only one way to find out. The shadows of the towering pines seemed to grow longer and darker as the friends pondered the chilling tales of Dr. Morose and the haunted asylum. What lay beyond the forest's edge? Curiosity began its dangerous dance in their young minds. The rusty lantern was Ravenbrook's favorite watering hole, boasting a history almost as old as the town itself. Located at the town's edge, this cozy tavern was illuminated by the warm glow of lanterns hanging from ancient wooden beams. The air was thick with the scent of burning wood from the fireplace and the faint aroma of fresh baked pies. Muffled laughter and the soft strumming of a guitar emanated from a corner where townsfolk gathered to share tales and drinks. Amidst the gentle hum of conversations, the four friends found themselves seated at their usual spot, a creaky wooden table near the window. Outside, the wind howled, rattling the windows and sending swirls of golden leaves dancing in its wake. Mason took a deep gulp from his mug and smirked. You all seemed pretty shaken up by Mrs. Haversham's tale. I bet none of you would dare to set foot near that asylum. Rebecca's eyes flashed defiantly, her pride stung. Is that a challenge, Mason? Liam, ever the mediator, tried to defuse the situation. Come on, guys, it's just an old building. We shouldn't let legends get to our heads. But Jade, her adventurous spirit piqued, jumped in. I'm curious. What if there's truth to the tales? Mason leaned back, a mischievous grin spreading across his face. So, what's it going to be? A friendly wager, perhaps. Rebecca, her voice steady, shot back. How about this? On Halloween night, we all venture into the forest and explore the asylum. Prove once and for all whether Dr. Morose's legend holds any water. Liam's heart raced, the weight of the challenge pressing down on him. Rebecca, are you serious? She nodded, her gaze unwavering. Mason laughed, raising his mug in a mock toast. to facing our fears and proving old legends wrong. Jade hesitated, her fingers playing with the edge of her scarf. All right, I'm in, but only if we stick together. Rebecca smiled, her confidence infectious. It settled then. Halloween night at the asylum. The atmosphere in the rusty lantern shifted subtly. Whether it was the weight of the dare or the wind's mournful howls, an unseen tension gripped the group. The challenges of the night ahead hung in the air, a silent testament to the tests of courage they'd soon face. Ravenbrook's public library was a grand old structure, its stone walls covered in ivy and moss, standing as a silent sentinel to the town's history. Within, rows upon rows of ancient wooden bookshelves stood tall, their contents whispering tales of yesteryears. Liam, his face illuminated by the dim overhead light, was deeply engrossed in a massive leather-bound book, its pages brittle with age. "Guys, look at this," he beckoned his friends over, pointing to an old photograph. It depicted the asylum in its heyday, an imposing structure surrounded by a high iron fence. The caption read, "Morose Asylum, pioneering the future of psychiatric treatment." Rebecca leaned over, scanning an adjacent page filled with neatly written text. It says here that Dr. Morose introduced groundbreaking treatments that were hailed as revolutionary. But rumors began to spread about patients disappearing, only to be found later in unimaginable states of despair. Jade, her eyes wide with shock, held up a diary she'd found. The front cover was emblazoned with the initials CD. Flipping it open to a bookmarked page, she read aloud, October 17, 1892. "The screams, oh the terrible screams. I wish I could forget them. Dr. Morose said it was for my betterment, but I feel myself slipping away with each passing day." Mason shuffled through a stack of old newspapers and pulled out a faded clipping. "Listen to this, mysterious disappearances at Morose Asylum, our patients at risk. This article details how numerous patients were reported missing, only for some to be found wandering the woods in a trance-like state, speaking gibberish." Liam, his voice heavy with concern, stated, "The more we dig, the more unsettling it becomes. Should we really be venturing into such a place?" Rebecca, despite her growing dread, squared her shoulders. "Look, it's horrifying, no doubt. But these are old tales. The asylum's been abandoned for decades. We made a pact, and we should stick to it." Mason, looking paler than usual, sighed. "I won't lie, this is far more sinister than I imagined. But I'm not about to back out now." Jade nodded in agreement, her determination evident. "We face this together, no matter what awaits." The weight of their discovery pressed down on the group, a blend of curiosity and foreboding intertwining. They left the library, the setting sun casting elongated shadows on the streets of Ravenbrook. The tales of Dr. Morose's dark deeds were no longer just legends whispered by elders. They were now a chilling reality the group had to confront. Halloween in Ravenbrook was always an eventful occasion. Children dressed as ghouls, witches, and heroes flitted from house to house, their laughter echoing through the crisp fall air. But away from the town's festivities, a different scene unfolded. The forest surrounding Morose Asylum was unlike any other part of Ravenbrook that evening. The trees, with their gnarled branches, stood tall like silent sentinels, their leaves rustling softly in the chilly breeze. A thick fog blanketed the ground, swirling around their feet, obscuring the path ahead. The distant hooting of an owl echoed through the woods, lending an unsettling soundtrack to their journey. Every so often, the calls of other night creatures joined the symphony, each note heightening the group's trepidation. With every step they took, the imposing structure of the asylum loomed larger. Its once grand facade was now marred by time, the windows boarded up, and the walls covered in creeping ivy. Mason, taking a deep breath, looked at his friends. "Are we sure about this?" His voice was barely above a whisper, betraying his anxiety. Liam gripped a flashlight tightly, its beam cutting through the fog. "We've come this far. Let's see it through." Jade, though nervous, added, "Together, remember." Rebecca took the lead, guiding them towards the entrance. "Look there," she pointed to a slightly ajar door, its rusty hinges groaning softly. Without another word, the group stepped inside. The moment they did, an otherworldly phenomenon took place. Lights overhead, long dormant, flickered to life, bathing the hallway in an unsettling, dim glow. The air turned frigid, each exhale forming a misty cloud. Before they could process what was happening, a gust of cold wind, seemingly from nowhere, whooshed past them. Their hearts raced as the heavy entrance door slammed shut with a resounding boom, echoing through the hollow chambers of the asylum. Jade, her voice shaking, murmured, "That wasn't the wind." Rebecca tried the doorknob, pulling and pushing with all her might, but to no avail. "It's locked," she whispered, her voice edged with panic. The four friends huddled together, the realization sinking in. They were trapped in the dreaded Morose Asylum, a place where legend and reality sinisterly intertwined. The asylum's corridors were long and winding, with peeling paint and overgrown mold. The faint light from the flickering bulbs above barely penetrated the heavy darkness. Echoes of their footsteps seemed to multiply, creating an illusion that they weren't alone. Rebecca hesitated at a crossroads of hallways. "Which way?" she whispered. Liam shone his flashlight down each corridor. "This way seems to lead to the main treatment rooms," he suggested, pointing to the left. They slowly proceeded, their senses on high alert. Soon, they found themselves in front of an imposing wooden door with a faded golden plaque that read, "Dr. Morose's Chambers." Mason gulped, "Do we really want to see what's inside?" Before anyone could answer, they noticed Jade, her face pale and eyes distant, walking toward one of the tables in the center of the room. It was as if an unseen force beckoned her. Without a word, she gracefully sat upon it, her gaze fixed on something none of the others could see. The room was filled with antiquated medical equipment, some rusted, others looking eerily pristine. Jars containing unidentifiable specimens lined the shelves, and drawings of the human brain and nervous system adorned the walls. Suddenly, the temperature in the room dropped, and their breaths became visible. An ethereal, faintly glowing figure began to take form at the head of the table where Jade sat. The translucent apparition bore the unmistakable visage of Dr. Morose, his piercing eyes scrutinizing his new patient. Liam, in horror, whispered, "We need to get her out of there." But they were rooted to the spot, paralyzed by the unfolding scene. Dr. Morose, with a ghostly precision, began his harrowing procedure. Instruments levitated, making incisions and alterations, while Jade remained eerily calm, as though in a deep trance. The minutes felt like hours. When the procedure finally ended, Dr. Morose's apparition dissipated, leaving behind a changed Jade. She stood up, her movements stiff and unnatural. Her once vibrant eyes were now empty voids, devoid of emotion or recognition. Rebecca, tears streaming down her face, reached out, "Jade, can you hear me?" But the friend they once knew seemed lost, trapped within the chilling confines of the asylum and the dark machinations of Dr. Morose. A haunting transformation of Jade sent a shockwave of terror through the group. The once familiar face of their friend now seemed alien, and her vacant gaze sent chills down their spines. "We need to get out of here." "Now," Mason hissed, his voice trembling with urgency. Liam, flashlight in hand, nodded in agreement. "This way," he said, pointing to a corridor that seemed to lead to the asylum's exit. But as they ventured forward, the asylum seemed to come alive with a mind of its own. Walls shifted, doors disappeared, and new passageways opened up where none had been before. The very ground beneath their feet felt unstable, as if the entire building were breathing, reshaping itself to trap its intruders. Rebecca, with every twist and turn, felt the weight of her decision bearing down on her. Her face grew paler with each passing moment, her steps lagging behind the others. Soon, a soft, malicious whisper caressed her ear. "This is your fault." She spun around, her eyes darting to find the source of the voice. But there was no one. "It was just a dare," another voice sneered, echoing through the cold air. "Your friends will never forgive you," hissed yet another. Rebecca clutched her head, trying to shut out the voices. "It's not real," she whispered to herself, her voice breaking. "It's all in my head." But the voices only grew louder, each one condemning her, reminding her of the weight of her choices. Mason, noticing her distress, grabbed her arm. "Rebecca, we need to stick together," he urged. She nodded, tears streaming down her face. "I'm so sorry," she murmured. Liam, trying to rally the group, said, "We can't lose hope. We need to find a way out." But with every attempt to escape, the asylum's labyrinthine corridors seemed to ensnare them further, leading them deeper into the heart of madness. And all the while, the whispers continued, a cruel reminder of the sinister force that held them captive. In a desperate bid to understand the force that trapped them, Mason broke away from the group to search one of the chambers that seemed less affected by the asylum's shifting walls. Dilapidated shelves lined the room, most of them holding old medical equipment and tattered books. But one shelf, covered in dust and cobwebs, caught his attention. Tugging a heavy leather-bound volume from the shelf, He blew away the accumulated grime, revealing the golden embossed title, The Journals of Dr. Theodore Morose. Mason began skimming the pages, his fingers tracing over the meticulous handwriting of the notorious doctor. The journal entries started innocently enough, discussing theories of the human mind and the intricacies of the psyche. But as the dates progressed, the writings took a darker turn. Dr. Morose detailed his obsession with the idea of immortality, not just of the body, but of the soul. He wrote of rituals and arcane ceremonies that would allow a person to transcend the limitations of the physical world and tap into the supernatural. As Mason delved deeper, he realized that Dr. Morose's experiments on the mentally ill were not just out of curiosity, but to unlock a forbidden power. He sought to capture and imprison souls, using their essence to sustain his own existence beyond death. One entry, dated October 30th, spoke of the special significance of Halloween. "The veil between realms grows thin," Dr. Morose wrote, allowing the convergence of energies. "The asylum becomes a beacon, drawing those susceptible to its call. Fresh souls to be harvested." Mason's heart raced. The implication was clear. Dr. Morose was still here, and every Halloween, he sought out new victims to maintain his spectral existence. Suddenly, a cold breeze rustled the pages, and Mason felt a presence behind him. Slowly turning, he was met with the ghostly figure of Dr. Morose, his eyes filled with a malevolent hunger. The doctor's lips curved into a cruel smirk, confirming Mason's darkest suspicions. Liam and Rebecca, hearing Mason's sharp intake of breath, rushed into the room, pulling him away from the phantom doctor. But the ghostly image of Dr. Morose simply watched, confident in his dominion over his chilling chambers. "And the souls within, we have to leave." "Now," Liam whispered, clutching the journal tightly. "This," he said, indicating the book, "might be our key to understanding how to break free." The dimly lit hallways of the asylum echoed with distant, sorrowful murmurs. As Liam, Rebecca, and Mason navigated the shifting maze, their footsteps were punctuated by fleeting shadows that danced just beyond their peripheral vision. It wasn't long before they met the first of the trapped souls. A figure materialized before them, its outline shimmering and translucent. It was a woman in a tattered Victorian dress, her face marked by eternal anguish. Recognizing her plight, Rebecca cautiously approached, hoping to communicate. "Who are you?" she whispered, voice trembling. "I was Amelia," the spirit replied, her voice soft and hollow, like a breeze whispering through an empty room. "I came here seeking help, but he took everything from me." Liam, clutching the journal, asked, "How can we escape this place? Is there a way out?" Amelia's faded eyes locked onto the journal. "The answers lie within the words he penned. But be warned, his darkness runs deep." As they continued, more spirits manifested, each sharing a fragment of their torment. A man, his spirit still wearing the torn straitjacket from his earthly confines, murmured, "Trust not what you see, for the asylum plays tricks on reality." Another, a child with sorrowful eyes, whispered, "Listen to the heartbeats of the walls. They guide the way." However, Mason, ever the curious scholar, became increasingly drawn to a particular chamber. The room was filled with a soft, mesmerizing blue glow. Strange symbols adorned its walls, and at the center stood a peculiar chair fitted with restraints and crowned by an intricate helmet of wires. "And tubes. It's beautiful," Mason murmured, seemingly entranced. Liam and Rebecca tried to pull him away, sensing the impending danger. But Mason's curiosity was insatiable. "Just a closer look," he promised. But as he neared the chair, ghostly tendrils emerged, ensnaring him and pulling him onto the seat. Dr. Morose's phantom form surfaced, hovering over Mason with predatory glee. As the doctor lowered the helmet onto Mason's head, his desperate cries echoed through the asylum. The blue glow intensified, and Mason's form began to blur, his very essence pulled away, leaving a void where his vibrant spirit once was. Rebecca and Liam, filled with horror and despair, could only watch. Dr. Morose's ghostly laughter filled the chamber as another soul was claimed. Liam's eyes darted around the dimly lit room, filled with various relics and tools from Dr. Morose's dark past. He clutched the journal tightly, its revelations their only hope against the doctor's malevolence. Rebecca, her face determined yet tinged with fear, addressed the spirits surrounding them. "We must pool our strength together. If the legends are true, unity can be our weapon." A hush fell over the group as the spirits nodded in agreement. Their shimmering forms began to merge, creating an aura of collective energy that filled the room. Suddenly, a chill wind blew, and with it, the unmistakable presence of Dr. Morose materialized. His form was more menacing than ever, shadows swirling around him like a storm. "You believe you can defy me in my own domain?" he sneered. Liam stepped forward, brandishing the journal. "Your reign ends tonight, Morose." The doctor chuckled, a sound devoid of any warmth. "Do you truly believe that book can save you?" Rebecca, summoning courage, chanted incantations from the journal, causing the very walls to shake. The spirits, now unified, echoed her chants, amplifying their power. Dr. Morose's form wavered under the onslaught, his grimace betraying his surprise. Liam joined Rebecca in the chant, their voices harmonizing, and for a fleeting moment, hope shimmered. But Dr. Morose was not to be underestimated. With a scream of rage, he released a torrent of dark energy, engulfing the room in a tempest of shadows. The spirits cried out, their collective force being tested. As Liam desperately clung to the journal, Dr. Morose's gaze locked onto Rebecca. With a swift gesture, he ensnared her, and she felt an icy grip around her soul. Liam watched in horror as the light in Rebecca's eyes dimmed, her form starting to fade away. "No," he cried out. But the doctor's power was immense, and as Rebecca's soul was drawn into the abyss, the last thing she saw was Liam's face, etched with despair. The asylum's once imposing entrance now loomed even larger in Liam's rearview mirror as he raced away. The roar of his car's engine mixed with the wind, but it couldn't drown out the haunting memories of the night. His hands gripped the steering wheel, knuckles white, and his breathing was ragged. Months passed, and the horrors of that night took root deep within Liam's psyche. He tried to find solace in the mundane routine of his daily life, but sleep eluded him. Every closed eye brought visions of Rebecca's fading form and the echoing laughter of Dr. Morose. One evening, while sitting in a dimly lit pub, Liam overheard a group of youngsters joking about the legend of the haunted asylum. The room grew cold, and a heavy weight pressed on his chest. Before he realized what he was doing, he found himself weaving the story of that fateful Halloween night to them. He painted the tale with vivid descriptions, each word dripping with the pain and terror he had felt. The youngsters listened, rapt with attention. Their eyes widened with a mix of fear and curiosity. They whispered among themselves, daring one another to venture into the very heart of the nightmare Liam described. Realization dawned upon Liam. By recounting the horrors, he was unknowingly sowing the seeds for Dr. Morose's next victims. But he couldn't stop. The story poured out of him, not as a warning, but as an irresistible lure. Halloween approached once more. As the date drew nearer, rumors spread throughout the town about a new group, driven by a mix of bravado and curiosity, planning to explore the asylum. Liam, standing at the edge of the woods, gazed at the distant silhouette of the asylum. A light flickered in one of its windows, a beacon drawing the next batch of curious souls. The weight in his heart grew heavier. For he now understood that he had become an unwitting accomplice, a herald for Dr. Morose. And in the chilling grip of that realization, the undeniable truth became clear. Evil, sometimes, isn't just enduring, it's ever growing. And so, dear listeners, we conclude another tale from the crypt of our scary stories. Sleep if you dare, but remember, the line between reality and nightmare is often blurred. We'll be waiting for you here, in the shadows, with another story to curdle your blood. Until next time, sweet nightmares.